Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Our lessons from the sacred scripture are from Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 33, Psalm 30, and the gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Today's message is titled, Having Faith. Lamentations, chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheeks to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Here ends our readings from Lamentations chapter 3. Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you His faithful people. Praise His holy name, for His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Here ends the reading of Psalm 30. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, beginning of verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see, the people are crowding around you, crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kaumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was about 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the by faith chapter. And in this we see faith is something that has resolve behind it, and it comes and is seen as in action. We bring in the book of James, written by the half-brother of Jesus, the Christ. James writes in chapter 2, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. What does it mean? What does it mean when you hear having faith? Faith is in you in such that it comes out in a perceivable manner. Faith is not an empty word spoken. Rather, the shape and form of faith is what makes you who you are by what you do. Faith, the Greek word is pistis. It means faith. It means belief. It means trust. It means have confidence. Pistis comes from pitho. Pitho is passive, and it means to be persuaded of what is trustworthy. You come to know that what the Lord has said and what the Lord has done is trustworthy. Thereby you have faith. You believe. You trust. Having faith is simply being persuaded that the Lord is trustworthy. So trustworthy, there's no need to look anywhere else. The Lord is the Lord, and that is a settled reality in your soul. Always keep in mind the beginning of the gospel according to Mark, where it is written, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And with that beginning, all that follows this beginning is written to bring about that persuasion inside of you for you to come to faith, to know that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. That by this faith being in you, you would know Jesus the Christ and the fullness of the truth changing you, who you are in the now and also into the forevermore. With each testimony of the events that happen, from the casting out of the demons of the man there in the synagogue in chapter 1, to the stretching out of the hand of the man in the synagogue a little bit later, to the healing of the paralytic and the forgiving of his sins, to the calming of the storm with a word of rebuke, to the setting free of the man from the demon legion in the region of the Gerasenes, the news about Jesus had spread all around this water, the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It's all around. The words are gone. In our gospel reading today, Jesus arrives back on the Jewish side of the lake, of the Sea of Galilee. And a great crowd finds Jesus. The synagogue ruler comes to Jesus and falls at his feet. Jairus is his name. He's at the feet of Jesus. And he personally implores with great passion for Jesus to come with him. His daughter is at the end. Literally, the word is eschatos. It means to be in the extremis, to be at the last grasp. The adverb eschatos, that root word, is where we get the word eschatology. And eschatology means the study of last things. Jairus' daughter is just barely holding on by a thread. Come now, lay your hands on her so that she will be saved and she shall live. Notice the confidence in this father with Jesus' ability to do as he asks. Lay your hand on her. She will be saved. She will live. That is evidence of a faith presence in Jairus. For Jairus would not have come to Jesus if he did not have faith that Jesus could do something, that Jesus could heal his daughter. More than likely at this time, a synagogue ruler coming to Jesus would not be heard of. Because by this time, they were already plotting what to do with Jesus. Now, this synagogue ruler, Jairus, he was more than likely present when the man with that demon, written about in Mark chapter 1, was set free. Or at least he's well aware of all these other healings that had happened in Simon's house there in Capernaum. And all the accounts of the healings coming from all over the places where Jesus had been through the several months. Come, lay your hands on my daughter. She will be saved. She will have life. Need to keep in mind, this is unusual behavior for Jairus. Because at this time, as I mentioned a moment ago, the religious leaders had already begun plotting against Jesus. Mark chapter 3, verse 6. The Pharisees went out and immediately had a council with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. And Herodians were not the Pharisees' best friends, as you remember I shared a couple weeks ago. Yet when a beloved child is sick, a father will go to great ends to comfort and heal his child. As Jesus leaves the seashore, it seems the great crowd has decided, hey, let's come along. Let's see what's going to happen. The crowd was huge and pressing in on all sides. I've been in crowds in stadiums, crowds at state fairs, crowds at conventions. I was amongst the 18,000 or so at the Promise Keepers Conference in downtown Columbus about 20 years or so ago. You know that pressing, that jostling, that bumping? For years, I've kept my wallet in my front pocket. It's my habit, really, to keep it that bumping and jostling from letting my wallet go someplace I didn't know where it went. So that pushing in the crowd, you know those things that happen in crowds. Personally, I don't like crowds like that. I go to them, I tolerate them, but I don't like crowds. See yourself now in the middle of a crowd. That bumping, that jostling. You want to walk with the crowd to see what Jairus going with Jesus. I mean, eager to see what is going to happen. Now, what is written here in Mark chapter 5 has all these revealing indications that it's an eyewitness report. An eyewitness is reporting these events. Peter's eyewitness now telling of the account of the events, and Mark is writing down Peter's testimony. From knowing the condition of the woman to the very specific Aramaic words spoken by Jesus to the little girl, Talitha Kumi, which means little girl, arise. We now encounter a woman who has suffered, who has heard of this Jesus. Years of suffering, going to physicians, spending all she had, having no benefit. Rather, she's getting worse. And worse and worse. And now Jesus is nearby. Jesus is in that great crowd full of commotion coming by, saying to herself, from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 28, for she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. Even just the touch of the outer tunic, that the word translated garment, it really means just the outer piece of clothes, just a little teeny tiny touch, that would be enough. She knew it'd be enough to be healed. Just the smallest of touches is all she needed, having faith. She entered into the crowd and worked her way towards Jesus. Now, this woman is breaking many rules of the purity law to be present in that crowd. In her condition, she's supposed to keep by herself, keep herself separate from others. That's what the law says. But she's pushing herself through. I have to get to Jesus. Yet this moment, we find her pushing through that crowd. I have to get to Jesus. If I just touch his tunic, I will be healed. Faith in her is moving her in action towards Jesus. And what she knows Jesus can do for her, be healed. She gets closer, 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 just beyond her reach. Another push to get closer, reaching out the head again, another shove, stretching out her fingers. And finally, the way it is sort of described, just the very tip of her finger barely brushes by the outer tunic of Jesus. And immediately, she is healed. Immediately, she is completely healed. In that moment, in that instant, Mark 5, verse 29, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her diseases. Kaiathous, that is the Greek Mark uses, Kaiathous, and immediately she knew she was healed. Her condition was immediately healed from the affliction. And Kaiathous, and immediately Jesus knew from himself power had gone forth. Mark 5, verse 30. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments? Who touched my tunic?" What a silly question to ask in the middle of the pushing and jostling crowd. Who touched my tunic? As Jesus was saying this, he was scanning the crowd. Scanning the crowd. A commentator on this moment wrote, "You can come to church week after week after week after week and bump into Jesus. That isn't the same as reaching out to touch him in faith." Who touched my tunic? Imagine yourself as an actor delivering this line in a movie, take after take after take, with inflecting and intoning differently, really capture the emotion behind the words. Get them just right. How would you say, "Who touched my tunic?" How would you say it if I gave you the direction to say these words, "Who touched my tunic," with the greatest compassion being expressed and the deepest longing to express gentleness to this person, this woman? Well, at that moment, who but to the one who touched him? I mean, the greatest compassion and gentleness, full of that, as to bring comfort to the person who touched you. How would you say, "Who touched my tunic?" To express that compassion, that gentleness, to bring comfort. The woman was afraid. She was frightened. She was trembling, quivering with fear, knowing she will be found out, because Jesus ain't moving until someone says, "It was me." She comes out and falls down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. Tells about how she suffered, spent all she had in the physicians, kept getting worse, and "If I just touch your cloak, I will be healed." Along with knowing she was immediately healed. She felt that physical change had happened inside her. And also, the way it's written and described here, she perceived a spiritual reality of the moment too, pointing to who Jesus is. And that's what brought her to tell the whole truth. And that's why we know about her condition, her thinking, and all these things from the eyewitness testimony of Peter. Because she told all about it, the whole truth. Jesus answers very gently, full of affection. Mark 5, verse 34. This is unique, the way Jesus answers her. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Jesus calls her daughter. Gentle affection. It's kindness. It's tenderness. Dispelling her fear and making her feel so loved. "Daughter, thy faith has made you whole." The faith that was expressed in that thought of just touching the very fringe of his tunic would bring healing. But it's more than touching his tunic. It was reaching out to Jesus himself. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Jesus sends her off knowing his love and with the blessing. And also, everyone else knows she is healed, meaning she is now ceremonially clean, and welcome to be fully a part of the happenings of the community again. She has been set free. Now, all this while this is going on, Jairus is becoming more and more impatient. I mean, can you imagine that? The anxiety building up in Jairus, because Jairus knows time is of the essence. His daughter is holding on with just her last thread. All these moments may become a moment too long. And indeed, these moments did become a moment too long. Mark 5, verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, that's speaking to the woman. While Jesus was still speaking, some people from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, came. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Can you just see Jairus being crushed with this news? During my time at Children's Hospital, one of the most difficult moments was with a family whose little girl had died during heart surgery. The child was about 3 years old. She was born with a heart condition in that her arteries out of the heart were transposed. So the blood was flowing in a different direction than it should have been flowing. They knew one day surgery would be needed, but they had to work and work and work, get her strong, build up her strength, get her strong enough for the surgery that had to come. They knew it would be needed one day. But the anguish of the mother still is etched in my memory when she said, I brought in my healthy, playful little girl this morning, and now she's gone. It's indelibly etched in my mind. Such pain, such sorrow. Things of life at times are just not explainable in words. Why for some surgery is successful, and while for some other surgery becomes sadness. I don't know. I do know, especially during these times, having faith is the only way through the moment. As Jesus will say to Jairus, only have faith. Only have faith. That's what will bring comfort. They say, no longer bother the teacher, the messenger said. Jesus overhears the words, and Jesus ignores these words to Jairus. That's what the meaning of the Greek there. Yeah, Jesus hears the words, but he hears it in a manner that he intends to ignore the words. You don't need to bother the teacher, because he's going with Jairus. Jesus turns to Jairus and says, not fear, only faith. Not fear, only have faith, only believe, only trust. Most translations put the word believe there. Some translations put the word faith there. You could even put the word trust there. All of that would be just as an accurate translation. For the Greek word is pisteo. And pisteo means faith. It means believe. It means trust. Jairus, you came to me in faith. Continue in that faith. Not only Peter, James, and John are permitted to continue with Jesus and Jairus, the crowd is sent away. Entering the home is filled with commotion of wailing and crying. Oftentimes, paid mourners were used, and the more loud the wailing and crying were, the more the grief is expressed. So paid mourners are there too. So as Charles Dickens' character, Oliver Twist, would be walking in front of the funeral procession as a paid griever in the book, Oliver Twist. I mean, Josephus, the historian, even writes about flute players were commonly hired during these New Testament times to fill the place with that haunting sound from the flute expressing lamentations. The practice of paid professional mourners, usually women being employed in this, it even continues to these days in places. Mark 5, beginning at verse 39. Jesus went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. "Yes, the girl is dead. Dead just as Lazarus is dead in the tomb," when that event is recorded in John chapter 11. Asleep is the most common expression of death in the New Testament. To fall asleep, to be asleep, is the way of saying physical death. Laughing ridicule filled the house. More than doubt, more than disbelief, it is open ridicule. It is derision against Jesus. Derision. And so Jesus ekbalo is the Greek word. Jesus ekbalo. He casts out the crowd that is wailing and deriding him and laughing at him, the derision. Ekbalo, cast out. Ekbalo is the same Greek word Mark uses when writing of the accounts of casting out the demons earlier in the chapters of Mark. Ekbalo, out, cast. I mean, it's a powerful word, ekbalo. He casts out the crowd, casts out their derision, casts out their laughter against him. Now with that commotion cast out and gone, Jesus gently walks alongside the Father. That's what the words mean there. Gently walks alongside the Father into the little girl's room, followed by the mother, Peter, James, and John. Only them in the room. Jesus then takes the hand of the little girl, as we hear, is 12 years old. He takes her hand. And in the Greek verb here, it means he takes her hand in a manner to take control of the moment. Takes control. The root noun of this verb in the Greek, the noun of the verb means to have dominion over the situation. So as Jesus takes the little girl's hand into his hand, Jesus is taking dominion over the situation, total power, total control over this little girl that reaches beyond the physical, but into that eternal realm. That is the meaning of the Greek here. Such that he takes so total dominion and control, such that these words, Talutha Kume, little girl, arise, brings life back into her. That's what the meaning of grabbing her hand does. Total control. So he speaks the words, it brings life back into the little girl. You don't see in the English, but it's there in the Greek. You'll read that the father and the mother, the three disciples, are astonished with great astonishment. Astonished with great astonishment. I mean, you were in that room, what would your response be? Oh my, she's alive. Life has come back. I mean, astonished to not have fear, but to have faith. Again, Mark was written of Peter's testimony, Peter's eyewitness testimony, so you can hear Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by hearing you may come to know Jesus is the Christ, to not have fear, but to have faith, having faith in all circumstances of life, having faith, not fear. How to get that kind of faith? How to get that kind of faith, you may ask. The answer is to get to know, first, the crucified and risen Christ that Mark is writing about in this gospel, who died to give you life in his name and through that forgiveness of sin. Read the scriptures, the Old and the New Testament. so that you get to know the revealed reality of who God truly is. Not what the world says about God. Know what the Lord says about Himself, concerning His nature, His character. For God will not act outside of who He is. It's impossible for God to act in a manner contrary to who God is. God cannot act against His nature, cannot act against His character. Through knowing God's revealed nature and character written in the Scriptures, the ability to live having faith will grow in you, such that your trust in God grows. As Jesus said to Jairus, have faith. As was in the woman, have faith. As compared to the lack of faith of the disciples wherein they're in that storm-tossed boat, and Jesus gets up and casts out the wind and the waves, rebukes the wind and the waves. So you have faith of Jairus, faith of this woman, lack of faith of the disciples in the storm-tossed boat. When Jesus, with a word, rebukes and muzzles and ceases the storm immediately, He says to His disciples, why do you have such little faith? Have you no faith? Get to know the revealed nature and character of God. Here's some examples for you to know. Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. Love, compassion. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So we have compassion, love, faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. Farther down in Lamentations, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. You're not cast off by the Lord forever. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion, so great is His unfailing love. Compassion, unfailing love. Oh. Psalm 30, we hear this. Lord my God, I called to You for help, and You healed me. Heals. You, Lord, You brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. I mean, You're giving me life. You're not separating me forever. Down to Psalm 30, verse 10. Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth, clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing Your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise You forever. Or our day camp verse, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Get to know who God is. You have faith. In all circumstances, glad to say a word, she made it to China. And to the end, to help Mrs. Lawson as a missionary. Gladys's task when he first got there was to grab the mule, the first mule of the mule train, because if you grab that first mule and steer it into the mule inn, all the other mules and all the other riders will follow right in. So you get that first mule, drag it in, the whole train will come in. Mrs. Lawson would then provide a meal and tell Bible stories as Gladys would care for the mules, cleaning off the mud and feeding them. After a year, Mrs. Lawson died. Mrs. Lawson's final words to Gladys were, God called you to my side, Gladys, in answer to my prayers. He wants you to carry on my work here. He will provide. He will bless you and protect you. Gladys, the only English woman in hundreds, even thousands of miles, in the mountains of China, all by herself, the only person that looks like herself. She was alone now that Mrs. Lawson has passed away. The inn's income from bringing in the mule ears and charging them for the night for the meal and sleeping on the bed and me story time, it was too small to keep the inn going. What was Gladys going to do? A stipend used to come from Mrs. Lawson. But now that Mrs. Lawson has passed, that stipend is no longer coming. An English Christian woman all alone in the mountains of China with only God to count on. The Lord provided. Shortly thereafter, the Mandarin came to her to have her become the official foot inspector, to get rid of the practice of binding women's feet. For Gladys' feet were not bound. She was the only woman that didn't have bound feet. If you want to understand what binding feet looks like, take your hand, put your thumb forward, fold it up like a fist, and that's about the size of a full-grown woman's foot being bound. Because all the toes would be pulled underneath, and the heel would be pulled forward, so her foot would only be about the size of your fist, with the big toe represented by your thumb pointing forward. And the woman couldn't walk, couldn't get around. Must stop the binding of feet. The Mandarin would pay her to do this. She had sent two guards with her, official Mandarin guards, to travel with her. Would she take on it? She'd be cared for, paid for it. She goes, can I talk about Jesus when I go and share about Jesus and tell Bible stories? Yes, you may do all that. And so here you now have, what shall I do? To God providing official escort, for official protection, traveling with authority to go all in all the towns, all the houses, all over the place. And while she was there inspecting feet, unbinding the feet of little children and teens and girls and all that, she was now also free to tell the stories of Jesus. God is powerful in providing, and God is good. Gladys could have gone with fear, and moments there were fear there. But the faith, have faith, because she knew the character of God. You're free to tell the Bible stories. You're free to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not fear. Have faith. And it was all under the protection of the Mandarin with his guards. God is amazing. For Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. You can be known as having faith in him in all circumstances. Trust him. Believe in him, and the Lord will give you life in his name. Amen and amen.